The floor shook beneath them, and Axe was reminded that although the fluid that had engulfed them hadn't been lava, they were still standing on top of a giant geothermal drilling site on a world whose skin was about as stable as a water balloon's. The ship rattled and creaked around them. The echoing of its many complaints sounded like a voice, gradually fading into silence. "Comms are blocked by the hull," Master Satil went on. "That wouldn't have been part of the ship's original design."
"They never intended to go anywhere," Axe said. "Or to talk to anyone. I bet this is Lima Zandrith's ship."
Master Satil looked around. "No artwork. No personalized touches. No signs of home. How can you tell?"
"There's a freight airlock aft," Axe said, avoiding the question.
They headed back the way they had come.
"Let's see what's through there."
On the way, they passed row after row of empty rooms, confirming Axe's feeling that the ship had been abandoned. Zandrit and the other fugitives had stripped everything useful or personal and moved it elsewhere. Maybe the ship reminded them too much of what they had left behind. Maybe they had built more comfortable quarters elsewhere. Perhaps they had kept it as a memento, Mori, as a symbol of their isolation and abandonment, and never intended to use it again. When they had returned to the galaxy, they had used a different ship entirely, one they had built themselves. Nowhere in Imperial records, Axe realized, was the name of this ship recorded. Unless she found a survivor or some kind of record, she might never learn it. That hole in her mother's history bothered her as they walked and climbed through the ship. She knew it meant nothing, really, and that sticking on this point was a kind of self-defense against the much wider holes that might soon be filled in. But she couldn't help wondering what it had been like to live with the rock-solid reminder of your betrayal constantly at hand. Maddening, probably. The aft freight airlock was twice as large as the one they had come through on the port side. It was open, a tubular umbilical leading to spaces unknown. The tube swayed and rocked uncertainly under the influence of the fluid around it. Axe pressed forward, telling herself there was nothing to fear. She agreed with Stryver. Lima Zandrid is already dead. She has been for some time. There was no life in here. The colony had survived long enough to build the hexes, but then it had failed. Either the hexes had killed them, recognizing that the humans had outlived their usefulness, or they had killed themselves. All the evidence Axe expected to find of them was their bodies. She wasn't prepared, therefore, for the intimately decorated quarters they had left behind. The pictures, journals, clothes, mobiles, meals, and more that lay scattered throughout the winding corridors of the colony, perfectly preserved in the cool, dry air, as though they had been put aside only an hour ago. There had been children living here. There were memorials to the dead and to those left behind. Likenesses of the colonists stared out at her from every angle. She recognized her mother's face in some of the pictures. Lima Zandrit had grown older here. Her face was lined, and her hair had turned gray. Her stare was sharp.
"You are right," said Master Satil, with something like admiration in her voice.
Concern, too, if Axe's ears didn't deceive her. She hurried on in determined silence. The empty colony was testimony to many things. Hopes and fears, bravery and cowardice, the everyday and the profound. Axe wasn't